ready.
Oh, thank you for that. Town Rooney, regular meeting for August 11th, 2014, will come to order. Please turn off our sirens, electronic devices. Mr. Rhodes, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bushrod?
Here.
Councilmember Reesher?
Here.
Councilmember Andrade?
Here.
Councilmember Nieslin?
Here.
Councilmember Conner Costa?
Here.
Mayor Norman?
Here. The meeting minutes for July 14th meeting are in your package. Do I hear any corrections or motion to accept?
I move accept.
Move Mr. Rhodes?
Sir.
Second, Mr. Reesher. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Committees, consider authorizing mayor to enter into cooperative endeavor with West Baton Rouge Parish to piggyback on parish public purchases. It was discussed last week at the meeting. We do this every year since we buy culverts. It's a routine thing, and I'll just give it to parish if y'all authorize me to sign it.
I move.
Mr. Andre?
Second.
Second, Mr. Niesler. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. I don't know of anything in planning and zoning. I don't know of anything in finance. I don't know anything in personnel. I don't know of anything in recreation. And police committee, consider SRO appointment of Shelley Moranto. Chief, you got the floor.
Yes. We hired Shelley provisionally, whatever.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, we had a house coming.
That was not civil. It had been red ink pen and her.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're asking tonight to ratify her hiring. Actually, the first day was last Thursday, I guess technically. It was the first, we hired on the first effective. She reported to school last Thursday for the whatever, pep rally, first day, whatever they call it. Whatever, orientation, that's it. She reported today for her first full day. Went over and met with her and with Jason at the middle school. Looked like a madhouse this morning at the high school, so she got broken nicely. So anyway, I'm making a recommendation to hire her. She went through the hiring board. She was highly recommended. I think both of y'all sat on the board when she came in. The condition offer we made her was $17.84 per hour plus supplemental pay, which comes out to, if she's a 40-hour employee, $3.12 extra with supplemental pay or something like that. So, and we brought her in as a corporal. She has close to 15 years experience between East Baton Rouge Sheriff's Office and Addison Police Department. Has a bunch of certificates and all that good stuff in her file. She's already a certified, post-certified school resource officer and post-certified police officer back in 2001, I think. What else? We don't have a uniform right now. We have a car that goes about 20 miles an hour if we needed to.
That's Jesus Christ, our school zone.
This part over.
Never catch up.
It's parked at the high school as a deterrent or as a, just a visual reference. But as long as she doesn't have to chase it by off the campus, we go good. We'll get her one eventually. She understands that she's using her personal car. We're not paying mileage unless she goes from really high to somewhere. But we go with that right now. I
think that's it.
Unless she goes from really high to somewhere for
official. That's correct. That's correct. Psyche valve, she had one with Addis. Addis provided us with a free copy, which they don't have to do, and they released it to us. I sent that psyche valve to Matrix because it was taken very recently, I think 2013 or something. or 12, something. Anyway, I sent the psych eval to RMI, our insurance carrier. They reviewed it. They reviewed the date on it. They were satisfied with it. They gave us confirmation that she is covered under that psych eval. So we are good. Yes, sir.
What's correct spelling of her first name?
Not the way I have it. It's S-H-E-L-L-I-E. That's it up there. I had it wrong on the conditional offer.
And Bart, you said last week that the hire was going to be as a police officer.
It is. I did say that last week. She's hired as a police officer with the understanding that her assignment is the school resource officer job. And I say that so we don't have an issue where someone thinks they have some contractual right to a certain position. She's a police officer. The school's not happy. And I've discussed this with her. The school's not happy with her. She's out of there. If she's not happy with the school, she's out of there. She can go back to the road. She can come to the road and work. She's not just a school resource officer. We talked about that. Okay. Anyway, so my recommendation is to hire Ms. Shelley Maranto for the open police officer job with Brewley.
Move.
Second. Mr. Andre, second. Mr. Reshore. Any discussion from the council? Any discussion from the audience? Hearing none, more roll call vote.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Bushwick?
Yes.
Councilmember Nissen?
Yes.
Councilmember Rice?
Yes.
Councilmember Reshore?
Yes.
Just one comment. Let the record reflect that Officer Maranto is present.
If you got a bunch of those, then these two are really important for y'all to see. So this is the, considering Basic Academy, school resource, post-certified school resource.
So we're learning something. Well, Shelley, I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody that gets hired as a police officer. You're going to be visible in the community. What you do reflects on the whole town, not just what you do. We have confidence in you. The firing board was, selected you as a well-represented. All right, welcome aboard. Good luck. Next item, governmental affairs, consider homes for landmark plaques. Bushwick, I'll let you take that one.
The landmark commission recommends 5 properties at their last month's meeting. This one is owned by Owen and Scarlett Calico. It's at 230 Julian Street, Front Rowley. We think it dates to the mid-1800s. In the late 1800s, it was owned by Mr. Joseph E. Fram Babin, who was the original owner of the Julian Bookstore. Mr. Babin also was on the first town council for the town of Rowley. Also, Mayor Bruce Bushwick was born in that home in 1901. And the front of the house doesn't look like this anymore. They've taken off that lattice work and they're doing the front porch and they're doing work on the inside.
Who owns it then?
Scarlett. Okay. And they've redone another historic property room. Okay. This house is listed as 1527 Arlene Street. It's owned by Joel and Catherine Tangle, but you really reach it by going down Pond Street off and off of Old. And it was built by William and Ruby Curry in the 1940s. And when it was built, it had a detached kitchen. Through the years, the kitchen was attached to the house. And this is on a piece of property that was original land grant. Of the Louisiana family from the 1785 land grants, but the house is from the 40s. Okay. Okay, this house and one other located in Arlene Street, these were among the first three homes that were brick veneer homes that were built by J.C. Avair, who developed that front part of Arlene Street. And this home was built for Landis Avair, his first wife. In 1960, now owned by Ruth Landry, who's the widow of Richard Landry. The front of the house looks the same as it did when it was built. They've extended the house in the back. It has more space in the back. So we think it's historically significant because it was one of the first premier homes built in that subdivision, which was one of the first subdivisions developed in that group. This little house on Lejeune Street, Miss Iberia Babin purchased the house for her family around 1930 when the levee was being redeveloped and reinforced. On old maps of Bruley, it was listed as a cabin belonging to Mrs. A. Wynn, and it was just a little two-room structure. Miss Iberia had it moved there, and it also had a kitchen that was separate from the house originally. And then through the years, the kitchen was added to the house, and she added on to the back part. Her parents lived there until they died. She lived there until her death around 2002. And it now belongs to some of her heirs, her nieces and nephews. C.J. Berthelot lives in the house today. And this is another brick house on Eileen Street that was constructed at the same time as Ruth Landry's house, built by J.C.A. Baer. And this one was built for Jane and Gerald Kiowet. It was one of the first brick veneer homes built in the early 1960s or 1950s in that subdivision. So these are the five houses that they recommended. I ask you to nominate or make a motion to accept their recommendation.
All right. Motion on Ms. Bourgeois.
A second.
Second, Mr. Rhodes. Any discussion from council? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Item two, consider certificate of recognition for 153 East Main Street. Paul Bridget and Paula Sonia.
Yeah, Bridget and Paula Sonia. This was a house, Debbie, that looked like that picture on the left when Anthony Scott is measuring grass a few years ago. Richard Sonyak was going there to demolish the house, right?
There's a lot of things going back and forth, but I don't think he ever really seriously considered demolishing.
Well, he saw potential.
Yeah.
And he got in touch with the owner at that time, and somehow the town had trouble communicating with the person, but he got in touch with her, and he was able to purchase the house. So he and his wife, Paula, did extensive work on the house. So that's the whole picture of the outside, and that's how the house looks today. It really looks a little bit better than people living in it today. It's a rental property. The inside on the left, the before picture, she left furniture, she left everything, just when she moved out, everything was left. The original house was built in the early 1940s by Bernadette and Wilma Tinky Michelle. And you're going to see in some of these pictures, you'll see the original wood floors that they restored. This is a little room that you get into right from that door right there from the carport. So this is what it looked like when they decided to undertake the renovation. This is how it looked going in from that other little junky room. And then this is how it looks now before the renters moved in. That's the original wood floors. They got down to whatever was over the floor, carpet or whatever, stripped it. Got down to the original wood floors, had new sheetrock put on there. Ceiling fans installed. That's the kitchen. Those cabinets were in there. They were in terrible shape from disrepair and abuse. They cleaned them up, fixed the hinges. They did replace the cabinets. They can see the floors, the sheetrock in the kitchen area, the dishwasher, and the new stove also. This was one of the bedrooms, the four new windows after. The bathroom was in horrible, horrible condition. And they stripped the bathroom down to the studs, did the sheetrock and the little windows, the vanity. Put the new tub, tile. There was a little linen closet in the bathroom that just got redone. Another bedroom, things were just left in there. totally abandoned. The new windows, original floor. This is another bedroom that was evidently turned into an office area. The computer was left in there. How it looked when they finished. And the Landmark Commission wants to recommend that Paula and Richard Sonia receive a certificate for the efforts at preservation and restoration of this property. And we'll do that when we have a ceremony, probably in November, at the council. And I make the motion to do that.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Reshore. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Consideration of vetoed ordinance is none. Hearing final action on ordinances. Consider ordinance number 6 of 2014, chapter 22. Aren't I supposed to read the heading? Heading anyways. The heading would read change chapter 22 nuisances. The entire chapter is a bit of basically a rewrite. So with that, I'll open the public hearing on chapter 22 nuisances, ordinance number 6. Any comments from the public? The public hearing is open. Hearing none, the public hearing is closed. And do I have any comments from the council or motion? Well, before you do that, let me just say that this is a big change. We went over it a long time. The major change is change of responsibility for this from the chief of police to the mayor, which used to be in the first place.
That's the best part.
That's the best part. Anyway, we made some tweaks in the area of blighted property. Some of the inspections we've done, we've improved the inspection process and moved some stuff around in the chapter to make it clearer and make it. I thought it was pretty funny today. We voted on this tonight, and a young man called me today. And he said, look, my parents died, and I've got two brothers, and they're up in arms about the building they got for cutting the grass. I said, you know, we sent y'all a letter. Well, you know, they didn't think it would cost that much and all that stuff. And he says, Mr. Joey, he said, I've been reading the ordinance, and the ordinance says $100 per hour. It didn't say per person. And we had sent two people out there. I said, you know, you're right about that. That's one of the things we changed. It's going to be $100 per person per hour. So I told him to just back out $200 for whatever it was. So there wasn't no one. So he came and paid the bill. I thought it was pretty funny. The same day that we changed it, that's one of the things we changed. You know, so it's a big rewrite, but a lot of it is improvements. So anyway, with that,
yes. Tom, I just had a comment when I was reading through it from time to time, the place where we refer to the 18th Judicial District Court. Is there any chance in the future that our district court number would change or the boundaries would change or we go to another district? Or what I'm getting at is if we took out 18th and just that appeal to the...
Just leave it the way it is.
You'll be dead.
It's been that way for probably at least 100 years. So, yeah.
Okay.
No.
I can only imagine the political implications.
We changed 18th in the first way. 18.1 and 2.
All right. Yeah. Any other comments or discussion? Any comments or discussion?
Too many other places.
All right. Do I have a motion yet? Did anyone?
No.
Move. Move. You move? All right.
Second.
And move Mr. Andre, second, or Mr. Rhodes. We already did a public hearing. Any further discussion from council? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it.
It's an ordinance.
Oh, okay. Roll call, my bad. Okay, roll call.
Councilmember Bushlock.
Yes.
Councilmember Eastlake.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
Councilmember Reshore?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Next is consider ordinance 7 of 2014, chapter 11, fire protection and prevention. It is the simply moving two paragraphs or two sections from the aforementioned nuisance ordinance that said you can't burn junk, and another one says you need a burn permit. We moved them into this ordinance because that's the way they should be. If anybody's ever looking for that, they'll never find it in the nuisance ordinance. So we just moved it over. There's no material change of any substance. And change the name of the district from Fire Sub-District Number 2 to West Baton Rouge Fire District Number 1, which is what the new big fire district is called. So with that, I'm open to public hearing. Any comments from the public? Public hearing is open. Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing, and do I hear a motion?
I move.
Move Mr. Richard, second by Mr. Bourgeois. Any further discussion from council? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilmember Nieswood?
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Yes.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
Okay, next is an introduction of ordinances. I don't know of any. Resolutions and commendation. Consider resolution number 4 to appoint the auditor. And the auditor's name is Wright Moore, D.R. Dupuis, and Hutchinson, LLC. That is we'll be recommending. Same guys we had last year. Move by Ms. Bourgeois.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Rhodes. Any discussion? Any comments from the audience? Any discussion from the council? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Ayes have it. Department reports. Fire department is not here. They told us today. Today they told us they're not coming anymore. Okay. Police department report. Chief.
Month of July, we had 6 wrecks, 6 bench warrants recovered, 2 disturbing peace calls, 9 alarms, 17 assists for other agencies, 2 drug arrests, 1 juvenile arrest, 3 traffic arrests, 26 miscellaneous calls, 73 calls for the month, cost of service, 23 citations, 34 total violations. Also, just real quick, we had our hiring board last week for the last unfilled position. We had 6 people slated for the hiring board. 2 showed up. It was really good too, actually. One of them was one that we asked to apply and kind of recruited the guy. We made a conditional offer. He was unanimously passed by the board, and I think I sent it to you guys in an email. Jeremy Thompson is his name. He's about 13, 14 years law enforcement. Currently, he was an LSU police officer and still works for that system through the community college police officer group. He was a detective in Port Allen City. Really good hire. He's got a stack of stuff about that thing. Schools and stuff. Post-certified officer. We made him a conditional offer for $18 an hour, and he takes a psych eval tomorrow. His psych eval was from 06, so we didn't mess with it. We knew we would have issues with it. We have 4 of them slated to take test tomorrow. So that issue cleaned itself up, I think, kind of the fight. And for sure, we'll have 2 taken tomorrow. For sure. So anyway.
So Richard, why wouldn't you recommend him for hire tonight?
I don't think we made it. Well, I guess I could. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot I didn't need to bring it up last week.
You need to add to the agenda.
Well, he didn't have to be on the agenda.
No, when he said we'd have to amend the agenda, he would take it up. Are you intending to put him to work before the second Monday of next month?
Let me say this. We need to fill that spot.
Yeah,
you know, I've got Ned working it right now, but we need to fill it. He wants to give us 2 weeks' notice. I need him to give us 2 weeks' notice because that's kind of good for everybody. But he could possibly be ready. I'd have to do a provisional again. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I don't think I'll have the psych results. I think it'll take 2 weeks. So 2 weeks after, I think we'll probably hire him at the next meeting. I just want to make y'all aware.
Up to you.
Yeah, I think the only reason I'm saying that, I want to get his psych results back, and it'll take about 2 weeks to get them. And then he's going, I don't want to give a notice at his other job until he passed the psyche eval, so.
See, the spirit of the law that was passed was like, if you lose an officer and you need one, you can hire one provisional. You know, we've been having this position over for a long time, and the beauty of this is that you've already been to the hiring board. You know, I would be shocked if any council members would say, oh, I don't like the guy, I don't really know him.
Let me say this, and with that.
It wouldn't be a big deal to let it, to pass him through right now.
I'd say no for one reason, only because the psyche eval scares me, and I had to get back in that situation where you're kind of.
You don't want to hire him.
Yeah, I'll be fine, I think, and let me tell you, Ned's working shift and actually covering, Paul's got him scheduled where he's not sitting in office, so we'll be fine, we'll be okay.
And we're almost in the middle of the month.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have been in trouble had we not, I mean, we didn't hire Shelley because, like, she was the only choice, I mean, it, you know, really was a good pool of candidates, but we fine, we.
You know, with this hiring board and the composition you have of it, two citizens, two council members.
Two police officers.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good group.
I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, I know this guy better than you do, I mean, you know, that's the.
No, I actually called him personally and asked him to apply because he used to live right here at Sinclair when he worked for Port Allen, he's a real well-rounded, you know, not hyper, not looking to go arrest 100 people today, that kind of.
Like the old Richard Johnson.
Right. But sometimes you know what you're not, what you don't want from experience.
Richard Johnson, 25 years ago.
Right. He'll do good, and he wants the job, he wants to be here, so anyway, I think we'll be fine. I don't even think we're provisional, I won't be here at the next meeting, as y'all know, Paul will be here in my place, but I think I'll send a letter.
Okay, speaking of that, now, I was told by Margaret that they would have, this week they'd have the draft of the thing, okay. There's going to be bullet points on there, and I would love for Paul to come and have a clear statement of the corrective action of each one of those while we're in a public meeting. I mean, you and I are going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it behind the scenes, and some of it probably is already corrected. But to close the loop, if she says item number one is a finding, you need to do such and such, and your procedures are right. I would like for a clear, and if you got to get with Debbie to show some overheads or whatever.
Is she coming on the first meeting?
Is she coming to the second meeting? No, the second, the town, the regular meeting. Okay. No, make it official, one in the minutes and everything.
Well, I mean, if Kim's really good, maybe we can.
What are we talking about?
Maybe we can get in.
This is the audit, the police department audit that we okay. that we've
the final.
Listed, and she's going to have the final report. And she's going to present the final report. It's in the announcement. She's got the final report at the September 8th meeting.
I mean, if Kim's really good, I'll be coming live from Indiana, so maybe you can Skype me to the meeting, maybe.
On the big screen. Put it on the big screen.
Yeah, that's for the record, he's Margaret Pritchett from back.
She just going to go over the report, or can she make a final point and bring it on the flash?
Oh, now we're going to go over the money limit if you do all that. I mean, no, yeah. I'm kidding, I'm joking. All right, no, she's doing a written. But I think she, they would probably.
That she's completed the field work. She just put a report on the that they finished looking at everything they're going to look at, unless we come up with something else. But no, they're in the report writing stage.
And I think I sent you guys an email. We've recovered. You know, we know we've missing more than seven, but the seven weapons that were actually that we know were getting gotten rid of the wrong way or whatever. The other ones that you know have been reported stolen and whatever. But these seven. We have recovered six, which is crazy. I didn't think we'd get that many back, but one of them we will never get back. The guy buys and sells a lot of guns that bought it, and he said, I'm not a dealer, I'm not required to do paperwork, but I promise you it's gone. I sold it, so we have no legal way to do anything about that. But we got the most expensive ones back, actually. We probably got $3,500 worth of guns back. So, anyway.
What are we going to do with those?
Those are going to be surplused in with the stack of surplus that we bring it to you guys to surplus. So we're going to surplus. There's one of them that I'd like to recommend that we, you know, if it makes everybody feel more comfortable, take the firing pin out, I don't really care, but put it in the Centennial room because it's the first, I think it's the first firearm bought for a elected police chief.
Yeah, you need to
disable it. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, it's just one of the six, and I just think it was that just got up.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I'm reading from the first cell phone ever used by a mayor in my office, and if I had a battery for it, I'd still be using it.
It was a bag phone?
No, it's a, no.
It's got a string in it, by the way.
Richard, I'll talk to you about it in person, but the total number of violations is really low, and we're going to make...
I made a list of why that was to the attorney over there. I don't know if he wants to share it, but maybe not the last one, but...
No, I don't want to hear it. All right, let's go on to the next item. Any other questions?
High visibility and a lot of patrols and...
I don't want to hear all that. I'm stuck.
And something about...
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, guys. Ladies.
That's public?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, but I'm not reading it. All right. Correspondents. We got a thank you note from a citizen, and I want to read it because you have made me so happy I could just poop. And this is a dog right here. But it says, Delapaz and Maintenance Crew, thanks for your service. It's good to know we have a true maintenance department in our town. Signed, Charles Gibbons. He asked him about some branch or something, and he took care of it, and he was all excited. All right, mayor's report, I don't have very many things. It is alleged that the Aline Street culvert project will resume next week. I was told one more week. LGAP, I said that last week, but I want the audience to know, we got our grant for $25,000. And I would like to thank Scott for taking the week that I was off, and they did a good job. I know it's nothing the community when I got back, which is a goal. And at last week's meeting, I mentioned that we cleaned the sewer at the, that would be the east end of Aline Street, and the first run of sewer line, that's what we pulled out. Now, it's kind of hard to tell the volume there, but that would be representing probably maybe 10 to 15 gallons, you put it in a bucket. And I took a picture of it, was in a front end loader, so it looks like asphalt, but it doesn't burn, so it might just be stained gravel. Well, the next chapter in that thing is we went to the second manhole of the street, and when they were, well, actually, not the one at the corner, the second one from the corner, and when they were flushing the lines out, they were getting some more of that stuff out, but not nearly as much. But when the sprayer hit the wall, all you could see was aggregate. And come to find out that the wall is now, we can punch a rod through it, it's gone. That's the bad news. The good news is that the vendors that do the sealing and all that stuff, they say that they can fix that. And Roy says they've had good success with that. So two of them, I think, are coming out tomorrow to give us prices, but that's what this $25,000 grant is for anyway, is to rehabilitate manholes. We just happen to know this is going to be the first one, for sure. And they charge about a foot, so I don't think it matters if the thing is completely worn out or if it's just a small hole.
We do an inspection of all of them to see what...
Well, you know, part of the scope of that engineering company we had, part of the scope was to do an inspection, so all the manholes that are in the bourgeois basin have all been inspected, didn't find anything wrong with any of them. Roy went in, they went down on Lee Street and inspected those, and from the surface, you can't tell anything wrong with them. But the problem with the one that's eaten out was that the concrete didn't have limestone aggregate, so it's possible that you might still be able to see the coating, but there might be some erosion in the back that we don't know about. So We haven't yet done it, but when that vendor comes in, we're gonna go through them one at a time with a rod and tap against the wall. But visually, they don't look bad. That one place is a leak, so we definitely gonna do that one. There's a little drizzling down the wall, kind of a seepage. But they don't look bad. I mean, hell, they were done in the mid-80s, so they're old, but just visually, they don't look bad. But we're not gonna take that for sure. Okay, that's all I got. Remarks of personal privilege, anyone? Anyone? All right. Announcements, town hall will be closed Labor Day, September 1st. Town of Ruley committee meetings will be Tuesday the 2nd as a result of that. And the police department audit report will be presented at the September 8th council meeting. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Move, Mr. Andre, second, Mr. Rose, all in favor, say aye. All opposed, nay. Any comments from the audience? Good.